Thank you, worship team, for leading us this morning. Let's pray again. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your truth. Father, I pray that you might use your word this morning as I preach, to speak to our hearts. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we continue on in our study in the book of Acts, if you would turn to Acts chapter 8, we'll be starting in verse 26 and working our way down through verse 40. There's a tradition at Disney World that people who built the kingdom have their names printed on the second story windows of all the shops there in Disney World. Maybe you didn't know that. And as you look around, you'll see Professor so-and-so, violin instructor. Really, he wasn't a violin instructor. He just happened to be one who had built the kingdom. And this morning, as we look at this passage in Acts chapter 8, our desire is building the kingdom. We see Philip again. We were introduced to him last week, actually in chapter 6. We see Philip proclaiming the message of the gospel in Samaria. People are coming to know Christ. People are following Jesus. We saw the picture of the sorcerer who came and wanted to buy the Holy Spirit, or at least the power of the Holy Spirit in his life. And then we see Philip's new assignment. Here he is having a thriving ministry there in Samaria. God is blessing. People are coming to know Christ. Lives are being transformed. And you would think, why would God send Philip somewhere else? Why would God take Philip away from that ministry where he has the opportunity to share the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ with hundreds of people, to go out into the desert, to go out and meet one individual out in the desert? But we know, as we look at Jesus' ministry, there were many times when Jesus was ministering to a multitude, but he also had time for the one. We remember as Jesus left ministry and he went across the lake to the cemetery to meet with one man who was out of his mind. And there shared with him the message of the gospel, the message of who he was. And as that man put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ and the message that he was proclaiming, this man is radically transformed. The demons leave him, and God is glorified. Are we about building the kingdom of God? Are we ready to take the assignment that God may give us to go and share the message of the gospel to that one person that he brings into our lives? Are we ready to give a word of hope to those who are struggling? We heard this morning, and we were challenged this morning by Phil and Becky and the ministries that they have, ministering in places where it is dangerous, places where you have to be careful of even mentioning the name of Jesus Christ. But as they minister there, people are coming to know Christ and lives are being transformed. And the need is just as great here in Waterloo as it is around the world. And so, are we about building the kingdom of God? Are we ready to share a message of hope to a world that so desperately needs to hear? This past Friday night, we did dinner and a movie here, and we had probably, as we kind of put numbers together, probably close to 100 church people and community people who came to our place to spend time together and for us to have an opportunity to share the love of Christ with them, to serve them a meal, and to show Christ to them. I pray that we might be known for those types of activities that show the message and show Christ, and that we might be able to live out Christ in front of people. That they might see Christ in us. That we might be ready with a word of hope. That we might be able to share the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that redemptive work of Christ death on the cross. And so we have Philip, and we have this passage, and for many of us, if you grew up in church, I don't know how many times you've heard this story, how many times you've heard this account, but I pray that this morning that you might put on fresh ears, that you might allow the Holy Spirit to open your heart, to speak to your heart, that we might see the need of picking up the assignment that God has given to each one of us. Let me read this passage for us this morning. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and he went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning seated in his chariot. And he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of Scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both got down into the water, and Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and he passed through. And as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Philip the evangelist. God had a new assignment for Philip. He was leading him somewhere that he had no clue where he was going other than go down to Gaza. And as he came, it was revealed to him the assignment that he had. There was a eunuch there who needed to hear the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So as we look at this passage, the first thing we see is a willing servant. Philip was ready to go and willing to go wherever God might send him. He could have gone anywhere, and God could have sent him anywhere. And Philip was ready to pack his bags. He was ready to move as God directed him. And so Philip, as he heard this angel speaking to him, he said, "I am ready to go." I don't know if there was any question. We don't know if there was any dialogue. We're assuming that Philip was still in Samaria because as the text continues to lead us through, he was there. He may have been in Jerusalem. He may have been somewhere else. But we know that Philip was ministering the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ wherever he was. Let's assume he was in Samaria. He was continuing to preach. People were continuing to come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Could you imagine Philip as the angel speaks to him, thinking, "Why, God, now? Why do you want me to move now? Why don't I just stay here? Because look at the multitudes that are coming to know Christ. Why are you sending me somewhere else, especially out into the desert?" But Philip was ready to go. Why? Because he was a willing servant. How often do we look at ministry and we say, today I am doing ministry. I appreciate everybody who did the five-day clubs. That was a great ministry. I have the privilege of being able to do ministry every day, and that's just what I do. But all of us are ministers, and all of us are missionaries, aren't we? We are all called to proclaim the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I was just reading a book this week, and it was interesting the way the individual put this. He said, we all do ministry, and we are all ministers. So why, when we do ministry, do we tell people about the ministry we did? Why don't we just call it Tuesday? Because that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to do ministry, and we're doing it every day. And I think that's what Philip's heart was. Gaza? Okay. If that's where you want me to go, I'm ready to go. And so we have this willing servant who was obedient. Philip was obedient to the call of God. The Lord was speaking to him. And within the text, we can surmise that it was without hesitation that he was ready to go and move and do whatever God called him to do. If it's preaching to one person, if it's preaching to thousands of people, Philip is ready to go. The angel said, arise, verse 26, arise and go toward the south, from Jerusalem toward Gaza. That's a desert. Philip, go. And without hesitation, he packs things up and leaves. Are we ready to do that? If God calls us to pack it up and go, if God is asking us to go across a restaurant and share Christ with someone that is sitting across from us, are we ready to do that? Are we ready to talk to a neighbor? Are we ready to take every opportunity that God gives us to share the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because we are called to be his ministers? We are called to be missionaries. Philip understood that call. He was ready to move, and he arose and went, verse 27. He arose and went, and there was an appointed person there for him to speak to. As we look at the text, here is Luke sharing this account. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of her treasure. A pretty descriptive account of who this individual was. He wasn't just any normal Ethiopian. He was one of wealth. He was one of stature. He was one who was at least a God-fearer. He was in Jerusalem during Pentecost. He was a servant. And here he was being confronted by Philip. Philip's directed to go. Here's the person you need to go talk to. Have you ever been prompted that way? There's this one person I need to talk to, and God's directing me to that one person, and oh man, I just missed that opportunity. We might be aware when God is prompting, and we might be aware when God is sending us. Philip had a specific mission to a specific person that God had prepared in advance for Philip to speak to. He's directed to go, and it's interesting as Philip approaches, as the Ethiopian is there, he's returning from Jerusalem, he's seated in his chariot, he's reading the prophet Isaiah. We wish that every time we talk to somebody it was that easy. Here we go, God, here you're directing me to this person who has their Bible open, and they're reading. Thank you very much for laying the groundwork for me. And Philip is walking up and he hears him reading. A common way of reading scripture during this period of time is out loud. And so this Ethiopian eunuch was wealthy enough to have his own scroll of the scriptures. And he has this scroll of Isaiah and he's reading a passage of scripture. And so for Philip to catch up with the chariot in verse 30, he ran. And as he's running, he's hearing him speaking, and he can imagine Philip jogging alongside the chariot. Hey, do you understand what you're reading? You know, hey, can you slow down the chariot just a little bit? I'm a little bit out of breath here. But do you understand what you're reading? He asks him a question. How often do we get our four spiritual laws or whatever the program is that we've learned about the gospel, and we walk up to somebody and say, okay, let me just run through my points here. Please do not interrupt me, because I'm going to have to start over again because I don't know how to pick it up where I just left off. So don't ask me any questions. Just let me do this. And we just run through a program. But here's Philip. He's walking up to the, or running up to this individual. And the first thing he does is he opens with a question. Hey, do you understand what you're reading? What kind of questions can we open up dialogue with people? Hey, what do you do for a living? I know, you know, Chris and I have that opportunity a number of times at restaurants to be able to just start a conversation with people. It was interesting, even on vacation, we ran into one waitress, at three different restaurants. She was working three different jobs, three different restaurants, and we had an opportunity to talk to Janine three different times and just love her. And how often does God give us those opportunities where we see the same person over and over again, and maybe it's we need to just ask a question. How are you doing today? What's going on in your life? Is there anything I could pray about for you? And God seems to open the doors for us when we are willing servants. As Philip was a willing servant to pack things up, to go, to leave where he was, to go and minister to an individual that God has directed him to. So are we that willing servant? But what we see next is a prepared heart in verses 31 through 35. A prepared heart. As I said, this eunuch, he was one who either he was born this way or he was made this way. He was in service. He was an official. But he had been to Jerusalem for the feast, and somewhere along the line, he became a proselyte, or a God-fearer, as they were called. He wasn't able to participate fully in all of the activities within the synagogue, but he was able to go, and he was able to worship. So he was most likely there for Pentecost, and maybe he was there for Peter's message. Maybe he was there during that time when thousands of people were coming to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We don't know the period of time here. We do know Philip's a second-generation leader within the church. What we do know is that Philip is one who is sent out from that group. And what we see also is that in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where it says that you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and now to the uttermost parts of the earth. Ethiopia was considered the uttermost parts of the earth. And so that fulfillment of that commandment in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we start to see it being fleshed out. And here is a prepared heart. The eunuch has just been there for the feasts. He had just been there. He had been worshiping God, the God of the Jews. And so he wasn't able to fully participate, as I said. But here he is worshiping. He was a religious man. He was a man who had a heart for God. He was passing the time as he was going from Jerusalem back down to Ethiopia, which is Euba, actually, southern part of Egypt, a territory there. And he was on his way back in the service of Candace. Candace was a name for the queen, similar to Pharaoh or Caesar. This wasn't her specific name. He was a high-ranking official. And Philip is reading Isaiah 53. Why don't we turn there quickly this morning, Isaiah chapter 53. And as the Ethiopian eunuch is riding in his chariot, this is what he's reading. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And who has the arm of the Lord, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one whom men hid their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for this generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgressions of his own people? And they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for the guilt, he shall see his offering and shall prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. What an amazing passage of Scripture, a messianic prophecy of the person of Jesus Christ, who is going to come and redeem mankind. And so as we see him reading, and as we understand the chapter, Isaiah chapter 53, verses 1 and 2 talk about the birth of Christ. Verse 3 talks about his life and ministry. Verses 4 through 9, the substitutionary death of Christ on the cross. Verses 10 through 12, talking about the resurrection and his future glory and all that we have as Jesus is seated at the right hand of his Father. And this is the passage that was preparing the heart for that Ethiopian eunuch, that one who needed to hear the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, one who would take that message to the uttermost parts of the earth. We never know what God is going to do with that one person that we share Jesus Christ with. We don't know where his life path may take him. We don't know how God is going to use him. But here is a man whose heart is prepared. His focus of his attention is there in verses 7 and 8. Like a sheep that was led to the slaughter, like a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life was taken away from the earth. The substitutionary death of Christ. And as he asks that question, who is he talking about? Is Isaiah talking about himself, or is he talking about someone else? Philip says, let me tell you about this someone else. This man, if he was religious, if he understood what he had learned as he became a Jew, he understood what substitutionary death was all about. He saw it in Genesis. He heard the story in Genesis of Adam and Eve who needed to be covered by something other than what they sewed together. He saw that there was the death of those animals whose skins were taken and used as a covering, that substitute. We knew the story of Abraham and Isaac. As Isaac was about to be sacrificed, a substitute was provided, and that ram in the thicket. He understood the Passover, that here was something that had to die, and the blood needed to be sprinkled, and they were covered by the substitutionary death of that lamb. And all throughout Israel's history, as they enter into the promised land, they understood the sacrifice that needed to be made for sin, that substitutionary sacrifice. And Philip was able to take the Ethiopian eunuch and direct him to the person of Jesus Christ. You were just in Jerusalem. I'm sure you heard. And Philip starts to share the message of Jesus Christ. What are some of the elements of personal evangelism? Because that's exactly what this is, isn't it? Philip is sitting down with one individual and he's sharing the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what are some elements of personal evangelism? First of all, is obedience. I need to be doing it. We need to be doing it. We need to be sharing the message of Christ. We need to be obedient in that way. We need to understand that everyone needs a Savior. And we may look around, and this is cross-cultural. We need to be looking for people who need Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Here is Philip. He could have said, you know what? He isn't a Jew. He is a Gentile. You know, well, I was just in Samaria, but that doesn't count because they're almost Jews. But here is an Ethiopian. There is somebody else that could probably go and share the message of the gospel with him. Why do I need to do this? No, everyone needs a Savior, and we need to be obedient to that call. God is the one who prepares the hearts, and he is the one who prepares the soil. What does Paul say? Some plant, some water, some reap. And we are somewhere in that process. And we may have the privilege of reaping, but we also may have the privilege of preparing the soil for someone, for that seed to grow and to mature and somebody come along and reap the harvest. But God is the one who prepares. In personal evangelism, we need to ask questions. Because sometimes we know what we want to say and we know what we want to communicate, but so often the person that we're talking to has no clue what we're talking about because we know where we're going and we know the direction we're taking. And so asking questions helps to figure out, first of all, to what level people understand whatever truth we're trying to proclaim. I was teaching a new believers class, and I thought, you know, I'm here at the basics. I'm just talking about the basics. And as I look at that class, they are glazed over. They have no clue what I'm talking about. And I asked the question, do you understand what? No, we have no clue. Some of them have never opened a Bible before. I said, okay, let's start at the very beginning. This is a Bible. Like Vince Lombardi, this is a football. You know, here, this is the Bible. It's divided up into two sections, the Old Testament and the New Testament. 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 books in the New Testament. Here is how it's put. We need to ask questions so that we're meeting people where they are to help them grow in their understanding of the Word of God. So asking questions is always good. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, the next point is that we need to use Scripture. We cannot lead someone to Christ apart from the Word of God. It's important. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we're not using scripture in our witnessing, we are not witnessing, we're just chatting with somebody about something religious. We need to open the word. We need to show people the word. And we need to understand that Jesus is the focus. The next point is Jesus is the focus. We could talk about the hypocrites in church. We could talk about why the Crusades happened. People are going to divert us all over the universe to keep us away from the message of Jesus. And we need to continually bring the message of the gospel back to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, because that's the foundation. And there comes a point that we just need to ask for a response. Do you want to trust Jesus Christ and receive him as your personal Savior today? We need to ask that question. So those are the elements of personal evangelism. But as we see in this account, the heart was prepared. Here is God directing this Ethiopian eunuch to be reading Isaiah 53, and just by chance, right, God directed him to be reading in Isaiah chapter 53. In those verses that speak of the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ. And that is amazing. So we continue to read verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, so we know he just didn't stop here. Can you imagine Philip just working his way through the Old Testament? Hey, do you want to see another picture of Jesus? Here's one in Isaiah 53. Here's one in the book of Genesis. Here's one again in Exodus. Here's another one in Leviticus. And Philip just works his way through. Here's David, the king. Look at Psalm 22. Look at Psalm 23. Look at Psalm 24. All these pictures of Jesus are all throughout the Old Testament. And if you were just in Jerusalem, you heard about the death and burial and the resurrection of this one who was called the Messiah. And the Ethiopian eunuch trusted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. He received Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Shares the good news of Jesus. And as they were going along the road, the next thing we see is in verses 36 through 38 is the public declaration of his faith in Jesus Christ. There aren't any secret Christians. I know the Phils travel to some countries that are closed, and we would say that missionaries can't go in and share the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but it's amazing when people in those countries come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, the first thing they do is get baptized, don't they? And they make this public declaration of their faith in Jesus Christ. And so the Ethiopian eunuch knew that probably as a proselyte, he was baptized into the Jewish faith, for the washing away of sins and to bringing him into fellowship into that Jewish faith. And he had probably seen Christian baptisms as he was in Jerusalem. And so he says, now I've trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and I want to make this public declaration of my faith in Jesus Christ. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? Now, what we have in some of our Bibles is that verse 37 is left out. If you look at some of the translations, we have verse 37 that isn't included. And the reason why verse 37 isn't included is because some of the earlier manuscripts don't include those, don't include verse 37. Somewhere along the line, someone decided that it would help clarify a little bit if we add verse 37, sort of fill the gap in between the Ethiopian eunuch asking, here's water, what hinders me to be baptized, and them getting down into the water. So verse 37 was inserted. Nothing wrong with verse 37. It is biblical. And it says this. If it's not in these earlier manuscripts, let me say this. If you believe with all your heart, you may be baptized. The eunuch responds, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And so that's verse 37. If you believe with all of your heart, you may be baptized. The eunuch responds and makes this verbal declaration, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And as we see, Philip takes him down into the water and he is baptized. Now, how do we say this is a public declaration? As we remember the story, or as we think through the story, here is this guy in this chariot. He's driving along. Philip shows up. They're out in the middle of the desert. How could this be a public declaration? This guy is important, and this guy doesn't travel on his own. So you can imagine the entourage that he has with him. You can imagine as they stop, and as people, his protector, his servants, whoever that might be, the armed guard that is with him, they are hearing Philip share the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ with all of these people that are in this group. It's just not the Ethiopian eunuch. And what we know is that sometimes when we share the message of the gospel with one person, it's not reaching one person. We know that that person, when they come to know Jesus Christ, in their joy and in their excitement, they're going to tell others about their relationship with Jesus Christ. And it may be, as we're speaking to that person, there are other people listening. And we don't know the impact of the gospel around us. So here is the Ethiopian eunuch speaking to Philip. Philip shares the message of Jesus Christ with him. He says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that declaration. And he says, I want to make this public. I want everybody to know that I am now a follower of Jesus Christ. And as we come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, the next step is to make that public. To let people know that we are a follower of Jesus Christ. And it may be coming forward, but ultimately that it is this public declaration that we make in a statement that we call baptism. Where we identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as we read, they went down, they stopped the chariot, verse 38, and he says, stop, and they both went down into the water. Can you imagine that scene? Here's the Ethiopian eunuch. I'm sure he had some kind of royal garb on. He wasn't just traveling in his shorts and flip-flops and a t-shirt. I'm sure he had some kind of royal vestment on so that you knew exactly who he was. And he gets out of his chariot and he says, Philip, let's go. Let's go. I want to be baptized. I want to identify. I want to tell everybody in this group that I am a follower of Jesus Christ. And they get down in the water. The word there is baptizo, which means to immerse. And he is immersed in the water and he comes up out of the water. And when he came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord took Philip away. And the Ethiopian eunuch went his way, and what is he doing? He's rejoicing. In verse 8 of chapter 8, what we read is as Philip was sharing the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, there was great joy in the city. The message of Christ brings joy. And here is this Ethiopian eunuch, he'll never see Philip again. But he is rejoicing. He's going on his way. He's going back to his life. He's going back to do what he did before, but he is a new creature in Jesus Christ. And he goes away rejoicing. So a public declaration of an inward faith. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm going to let it shine. We want our light to so shine before men that they might see our good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. And the Ethiopian eunuch said, I want to glorify God with my life. So we have a willing servant, we have a prepared heart, we have a public declaration. The next thing we have is continued faithfulness. Verse 39 and 40, and when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord took Philip away. and landed him 20 miles away. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 12, if you want to look at that later, you can go ahead and do that where it happens before. But here is Philip being transported to another place of ministry 20 miles away. And he faithfully proclaims the message of the gospel. He's in Azotus, and he passes through there, and he's preaching the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea, 60 miles. Here is Philip just proclaiming the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ for 50 miles. And we don't hear again about Philip until chapter 28, verse 8. And he's still in Caesarea. He's still ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ. He continued in his faithfulness. So what do we take from this morning? What do we walk away with? First of all, am I ready to be used of God? Are we ready to be used of God? God has called us to be His ministers, to be His missionaries. God is always placing people across our path. There is always someone that we could share a word. Are we faithful to our calling? And are we ready to give an account for the hope that is within us? So as a church, I pray that that is our heart, that we are seeing people who need Jesus Christ and we're ready to share the message of the gospel. Secondly, have you publicly proclaimed your faith in Jesus Christ? Maybe you're here this morning, you've never been baptized. Maybe this morning you've never made a public declaration of your faith, and this morning that you would like to say, as the Ethiopian eunuch did, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and I want everybody to know that I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I'll be down here in front this morning. Maybe you need prayer, but maybe you just want to come forward and say to your church family, I have accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and I want to proclaim that message, and I want to follow Him with my whole life. Father, I thank You for this morning. I thank You for this story that is so familiar to us. I thank You for the challenge that it provides for each of us. I pray that I might be a willing servant. I pray that I might come across prepared hearts, but I pray that I might be ready to share the message with whoever You bring across my path. And Father, I pray that if there's someone here this morning that needs to make a public declaration of their faith, I pray that they might do that this morning and say to everyone here, their family, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Father, we love You and we thank You for the message of the gospel, the hope that it brings. And I pray that You might just spur us, challenge us, motivate us. I pray that this week, that You might bring one person across our path that we would be bold enough to share Christ with. Father, I pray that we might make that covenant with You this morning. It's in Your Son's great name we pray. Amen.